And the test will be multiple choice. The only thing is that there's also going to be a few questions, and I hope that you're going through the Shulchan Aruch of Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. There's going to be a few questions on Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. You have to know Orech Chaim Siman Kuf Lamed Hey until Kuf Mem Tes, I think it is, basically. But you only have to know with the Mishnah Berurah. You have to know it fairly in a Bekiyas sort of way rather than a more Eon sort of way. I won't ask the specific details with the exception of that one Se'if, which is Kuf Mem Gimel Se'if Dalet, that you have to know very well. There you have to know the Bir Halacha, and then you have to really make sure that you know all the details. Also, for those of you who are interested, the makeup test is going to be a week from the regular test, which is going to be May 18th. That is the day before Shavuos. So those who feel that you're not prepared for it on a Tuesday can take the makeup test on May 18th. If you're not going to be prepared for both of those, so then, oh boy. Right, then, that's all I have to say. Okay. Now tonight we're going to try to chaz Hashem. I have to apologize just at the outset. I did not have a chance to go through Dr. Levine's shiur and Rabbi Feldman's shiur to the extent that I would like to present them. So if you want, we can meet tomorrow afternoon and I could give a chazor shiur on those two shiurim. But I think I'm prepared to go through the other shiurim. Just those two I don't have as well as I would like to say a chazor shiur on. Okay, so let's begin with Rabbi Neuberger's shiur. Last time we met, we went through Rabbi Sabalovsky's shiur and Rabbi Simon's two shiurim. Rabbi Neuberger spoke about Lifnei Iver. And the first issue that comes up in Lifnei Iver is the shaila of that the Gemara tells us that there's Lifnei Iver, which is a din d'oraisa, b'chad avad d'nahara, and then there's Lifnei Iver, which is din d'oraisa, b'trei avad d'nahara. If it's on two sides of the river, there's an issur Lifnei Iver d'oraisa. And it's chad avad d'nahara, so then there seems to be a steer in Tysus. Tysus in one place, in Avodah Zarah, says that if it's chad avad d'nahara, it's going to be an issur d'rabbanon. And Tosin Shabbos sounds like it's going to be heter gomor. So there's a famous comment from the Dogel Meravava, where Dogel Meravava says that there's really no steer in the Taisvis. If the person that we're dealing with is a mummer, so then there won't be an Issa Durabonan if it's Chayat Avad Nahara. If the person who we're dealing with is not a mummer, so then there will be an Issa, then there will be an Issa Durabonan. The basic cheshbon, the way the Dogel Meravava is saying it, an explanation of that shach, is that if the fellow is a mumar, the assumption is that he is doing it b'mezid. And if you're doing it b'mezid, so then apparently there's no iser of chayat avad nahara of helping a fellow do the avera. Rav Moshe Sternbach has a tshuva about a son who's learning in Kollel, and his father sends him to collect some ribbis money. Now, through collection of the ribbis money, he's going to be able to learn in the Kollel. So Rav Moshe Sternbach is mekel. He says, well, in this situation, since the father is a mummer, and the Dogel Meravava says that there's going to be no iser of lifnei iver midrabbanan on the mummer, so therefore it's going to be not a problem. And even though, according to the Gra, perhaps this case is not really considered chad avad nahara, but you can rely on the Rama that it is. In other words, there's a machlokes between the Rama and the Gra. Let's say I could buy something from somebody else. Is that enough to make it chad avad nahara? Is it only chad avad nahara if the item is mamish here, right in front of me, and I could just take it? Let's say I have to buy from someone else. That's a machlokes Rama and the Gra. Says in Moshe Sternbach, you could rely, A, on the Dogel Meravava, B, you could rely on the Rama's assumption that it is considered chad avad nahara, even if you could just buy it from somewhere else. The issue that's funny about Lifnei Iver is that usually we have a big kula. The kula is that if someone's considered a tinok shenishba, so we're very mekel, many halachos. If a person, right, we assume he was raised improperly, like the Rambam has about the Bnei HaKara'im, right, we assume that the person was raised without the proper attention to Yiddishkeit, so such a person we're usually mekel on. The funny thing is that when, in the context of Lifnei Iver, saying that someone's a tinok shenishba actually could be a chumra, no? Because if the whole hezber of the Dogel Meravava is that we're meko on Lifnei Iver d'rabbanon, on someone who's a mummer, because the person has been mazed, So if I say that someone's a tinuk shenishba, that means he's not really mazed. If he's not really mazed, so then I don't have the kula that I would ordinarily have. Fine. Lamaisa, though, Lamaisa, it seems like we're not going to use the tinuk shenishba chumra in this case, and the question is why. It's something that Rabbi Neuberger presented. There is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch that it says it's usher to give food to somebody who won't make a bracha on it. So let's say there's somebody who can't make a bracha. What does it mean, can't make a bracha? So we have a case of someone's an onin, Rachmana Litzlan, so you can't make a bracha, right? The din is an onin is not allowed to perform any mitzvah, so we paskin that making a bracha is really a mitzvah. It's not an iser to eat food without a bracha, it's a mitzvah to make a bracha. So an onin doesn't make brachas hananin. L'chore, there's no iser to give a food to an onin, because a person can't make a bracha. We could say an interesting svara like this. We could say, well, maybe if I have somebody who can't make a bracha for other reasons. For example, let's say the person doesn't believe in God, no? If I don't believe in God, so I can't say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, because what type of bracha am I giving to God? God doesn't mean anything to me. So in Mela, one could argue a very funny svara that maybe, right, even if you hold that there's an iser of giving food to somebody who won't make a bracha on it, maybe Kol Zeh is giving food to someone who halachically could make a bracha, but in this situation can't. This situation isn't making a bracha. But someone who halachically can't make a bracha, maybe it's like an onein, and there'd be no iser of giving them food. That's a svara that Rabbi Neuberger entertained, which is a very interesting svara, no? I don't think any poskim. What? He quoted this idea from Moshe Sternbach. Moshe Sternbach entertains this idea. Moshe Sternbach doesn't stick with it. Lamaisa. If you look at that tshuva, that's Chelak Beis Simin Kuf Lamed Ches, Moshe Sternbach kind of moves away from it. Rabbi Neuberger stuck with it much more. Lamaisa, the poskim are makel on this shaila for other reasons. The Chazon Ish is reportedly saying that, you know what, you're going to give food to someone who's not from. Your intention isn't to be machshel him in Aveira. Your intention is that you're going to give him food and he'll think that frum shoes are nice and maybe he could end up helping out the yeshivas, maybe he could end up giving money. So in that situation, it's not kavona for the aveira, it's not really a michshol adarab. Your kavona is to be mezakem in the mitzvah, so therefore it should be better. That's what the achreinim all say. That's an interesting idea. It's almost like triage in halacha, no? The idea is like, well, let's balance things. It's only lifnei iver if my kavana is lahachshel. My kavana isn't lahachshel, so it's not lifnei iver. This is the same type of idea that Achreinim say, and Rabbi Neuberger mentioned later on in this year, in terms of inviting a non-from Jew over to your house for a Shabbos meal. Right? Am I allowed to do it? It's going to drive on Shabbos. I'm being machshel him in an aveira. No? So, the fact is that the Achreinim say different things. Rav Schechter says that you're supposed to give him a place to sleep. Offer him a place to sleep. So then maybe he won't drive back after. Okay. Others say that no. Right? If my kavana is to introduce him to Shabbos, so I'm not being machshel him in an aveira adrama. I'm being mezakeh him in an opportunity to do a mitzvah. If I'm being mezakeh him in an opportunity to do a mitzvah, so then we could say that there's no issur of lifnei iver by inviting them for Shabbos. There's similar ideas, right? That lifnei iver sometimes it seems like a case of lifnei iver, but lamaisa when you think about it, adarabba, this thing that we're doing is really minimizing the aveira, and therefore not only is it not lifnei iver, but it should be done. Right? Rav Soloveitchik famously paskined that if there's a Jew who stops you on Shabbos and says, how do you drive to the Reform Temple? Right? So do you give him directions or not? So Rav Soloveitchik is called Nefesh HaRav, page Kufayin Gimel. Rav Soloveitchik would say that you give him directions to get to the Reform Temple. Because, think about it, if I don't give him directions, he's going to be off up lunches. He's going to get messed up. He won't know how to get there. He'll drive more. So Adrab, by me giving him the information, I'm not being machshel him in an aveira. There's no iser of lifnei iver. Adrab, I'm preventing him from doing a greater aveira. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a similar idea. Right, again, this is like what I put under the category of like Kshri Ashba Lifnei Iver. Moshe talks about it's a common Shaila. If you're a doctor, are you allowed to switch, or you're training to be a doctor, you're allowed to switch turns with someone else. Let's say there's a not from Jew. Can you switch your turn in the rotation with him? So, on the one hand, you'd say, well, you know, he's going to be Mechal Shabbos. If I would be in the hospital, so I wouldn't do these things. I'd be conscious, and I wouldn't do any malachas. On the other hand, you could say, no, maybe, listen, he's going to be Mechal Shabbos anyway. Right? If I don't switch my turn with him, so what's he going to do? He'll stay home on Shabbos, and he'll turn on the television, and he'll do whatever malachas he'll do on the regular Shabbos. So Adarabba, by switching turns with him, so now he'll be in the hospital on Shabbos, now he'll do less of an Aveira, because many of the malachas that he's doing now are Letzorech Pekuach Nefesh. So maybe that's a mitigating factor. Maybe that should be okay. Similar type of ideas. The Har Tzvi has a tshuva about, apparently the Sochnut used to only lend these combines, which are these big machines. You can manage to do like 1,000 malachas with the combine. It does plowing and planting and harvesting. It does everything. It's gvaldik. It's like a, right? So the Sochnut would only lend it to two moshavim together. They wouldn't lend it to one. So let's say one moshav is a religious moshav, the other moshav is a non-religious moshav, but they're allowed to combine together, right, to get the combine. If they combine to get the combine, so the not religious Moshav is going to be using it on Shabbos. The religious Moshav is saying, well, maybe we're in violation of Lifnei Iver by partnering with them to get this combine. So the Har Tzvi says, no, think about it. If you don't partner to get the combine, adrabba, they're going to end up doing more malachas. Because if they have the combine, so basically one person is running the combine on Shabbos, is doing all the malachas together. If you don't have the combine, then every person in the Moshav is going to run out on Shabbos and pull up the stuff biyadayim, right, and violate kotzer, etc. So that would be even more malachos. Lemaisa, this is not pashat, because all of the cheshbonos that we've had until now, that there's no isav lifnei iver, because I'm minimizing the aveira, right, rather than being macho you in an aveira. This only makes sense l'chora if you assume that the Isav Lifnei Iver is taka because I'm being machshu you in an aveira. But the Achronim have a different lumdus of Lifnei Iver. Some of the Achronim suggest that the pshat in Lifnei Iver is that I'm being mishtatif in your aveira. I partner with you. If the pshat is I partner with you, in other words, I get a chelik of the aveira that you're doing, so maybe even if you're doing a lower level aveira, but you're doing the aveira because of me, so then maybe that is considered an Isser of Lifnei Iver, even though I'm minimizing your Aveira. Right? What Rabbi Neuberger suggested at one point in the middle of this year is that all of this, Lomdis, that I'm minimizing the Aveira, so therefore I'm giving you directions of how to get to the Reformed Temple on Shabbos. I'm minimizing your Aveira, and therefore I'm buying the combine together with the other Moshav. But if you hold that the Lomdis is, I mean, Mishtatif in the Aveira, L'chora, none of this would help. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a different take on Lifnei Iver, one of his tshuvas. And I think if I understand it correctly, what Rav Moshe is saying is that certain types of Lifnei Iver are super-duper Lifnei Iver, and it's worse than regular Lifnei Iver. Zoso Meres, the case is, can I give incentives to people who come to Shalom Shabbos? Now, in ordinary case of Lifnei Iver, I'm being machshu you in an Aveira. Right? What's being machshu you in an Aveira? The fact is, it's possible that you would have done the Aveira without me, or not. Could be. And I am giving you an opportunity to do the Aveira. But it could very well be that you would have done the Aveira even without me. Let's say we know for sure that the only reason you're doing this Aveira is because of me. So that type of Lifnei Iver is like Rav Moshe, is worse than regular Lifnei Iver. Rav Moshe has a chiddush that he includes that type of Lifnei Iver in the category of Mesis. He has a raya from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that the Nochash HaKadmoni, right, was in violation of the Isser of Mesis. Now, Mesis, usually we think that Mesis is only Avodah Zarah, right? But you see from that Gemara that no, that since it's not shy to do the Aveira without what was done, without the Nochash, so even though there's no Avodah Zarah going on, you're still considered a Mesis. It's interesting that this point seems to be machlokas between Rashi and the Yad Ramah there in Sanhedrin Daf Chav Tes about how you understand that Gemara, and really whether the Isser Mesis applies to areas outside of Avodah Zarah. Okay, just to go on in terms of Lifnei Iver, very quickly, it's worth noting that the Rambam has a different sheet of Lifnei Iver than the rest of the world. We began with the Gemara Avodah Zarah Davav, where the Gemara Avodah Zarah told us that there is Lifnei Iver Dairaisa, Trey Avodah Zarah Nahara, and the way the Rishonim understand it, if it's Chad Avodah Zarah Nahara, there's Lifnei Iver Midrabonon. The Rambam never distinguishes between Lifnei Iver Dairaisa and Lifnei Iver Dirabonon. The Rambam never speaks about a difference in Trey Avodah Nahara and Chad Avodah Zarah Nahara. According to the Rambam, this Lechora, the lomdus of Lifnei Iver is what we said before, that I become a shutef in your Aveira, I partner in your Aveira. Right, the Rambam writes, it sounds like, if I buy hubcaps, no? If I buy hubcaps, hubcaps are always stolen. If you're going to buy hubcaps, so you're buying stolen goods. So the Rambam says, that's Lifnei Iver, no? That's Lifnei Iver. Why is that Lifnei Iver? Because I am partnering with the Ganav. Even though Lechora, he's not stealing the hubcap because of me. He could steal a hubcap if I don't buy it, right? But according to the Rambam, it sounds like you're in violation of an Issa Dairais of Lifnei Iver. Of Nachum Rabinowitz, in an article in Tchumen years ago, gave a whole list of Rambams. There's, I think, 24 different places in the Rambam where you see that the Rambam is not machalik between the Lifnei Iver of Trey Avodah Nahara and the Lifnei Iver of Chad Avodah Nahara. It's important to note, just one last point about Lifnei Iver, that Lechora, there's no Isser of Lifnei Iver if someone is relying on a posek. If there is a posek, a legitimate posek, who holds of a shita, even if I myself don't hold of that shita, so Lechora, there's no Isser of Lifnei Iver. For example, let's say you're the Rav in the community, and you don't hold of an Erev. But there is an Erev in the town, and there's another Rav in the community who built the Erev, and the Erev is based on some rabbinic authorities. You might not hold that way. You hold like Rav Moshe, you can't build an Erev in Manhattan, or something along those lines. But certainly there are poskim who hold that you can. So Lechora, there's no Isser of Lifnei Iver to invite someone over for Shabbos knowing that they're going to carry something. Right? There's no Isser of Lifnei Iver because they're relying on the posek. Right? Whenever you're relying on the posek, Lechora, there's no Isser of Lifnei Iver. The Stei Chemetz says this in the context of giving a cigarette to somebody on Tisha B'Av, no? If the person's relying on the posek that it's mutter to smoke on Tisha B'Av, assuming it's mutter to smoke ever. But if it's mutter to smoke on Tisha B'Av, then there's no Isser of Lifnei Iver. This whole discussion in the Achronim about are you allowed to be Masada Kedushin for people who won't keep Taharas HaMishpacha, the Shuvos of the Netziv, what's it called? I forgot already, I'm very tired. The Netziv in his Shuvos, so he says that you're allowed to be Masada Kedushin for people who won't keep Taharas HaMishpacha if you get paid. The Sri Dei Eish writes that he was always Machmir not to do this, not to be Masada Kedushin for people who would not keep Taharas HaMishpacha. There's a whole lumdus about this. Part of the lumdus over here goes back to the way we began. We began by pointing out that there's a steer in Tosis as to whether there's an Isser D'Rabbonon of Lifnei Iver where it's Chad Avodah Nahara. So the Shach has his Mahalach that the Dogon Mervava amplified, that if it's Lifnei Iver on a Mummer, so for a Mummer there's no Lifnei Iver on Chad Avodah Nahara. If you're not a mummer, then there is Isser Lifnei Iver B'chad Avodah Nahara. Right? The Isser D'Rabbonon. That's what the Shach and the Dogon Mervava said based on Mezid. The Tshuvas of the Binyan Sion had a different Mahalach, no? And Reb Feivel Cohen actually passes like this Binyan Sion. The Binyan Sion says that the difference is whether it's, am I getting involved B'shas Aveira? Or am I not getting involved B'shas Aveira, I'm getting involved before the Aveira. No? Sometimes, the person, like in the driving situation, no? The guy asks me for directions. He's mamish involved in the Aveira. Right? So, my Lifnei Iver is going to be right when he's involved. That's a more serious form of Lifnei Iver than the other type of Lifnei Iver, if it's before the Aveira. So, the Binyan Tzion wants to be miyash of the Steer and Tosfos by saying that if it's before the Aveira is done, so then there's no Lifnei Iver b'chad Avodah Nahara. But if it's b'shas Aveira, then there is Lifnei Iver b'chad Avodah Nahara. So Mamela, in the case of Siddur Kedushin, Lech Ora, that's before the Aveira is done, no? You mean Messiah condition for a couple won't keep Taras HaMishpacha. The Aveira won't be done until later. So Memela, right, that's a Snif LaHakel. That's what the Netziv has in the Tshuva. Netziv actually, I think, refers to Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger's Tshuva, to the Binyan Siyan in that Tshuva, yeah. Okay, good. Any questions about Lifnei Iver? It's a very important topic. Gemara Meresh comes up all the time. Okay. Let's go to a related issue to Lifnei Iver. We'll talk about Rabbi Rosenzweig's shiur, the role of the non-observant Jew in Shul. Now, one could have focused in this shaila also in terms of Lifnei Iver and being machshel them, but the issue over here, the way Rabbi Rosenzweig framed to the issue, is more about, on the one hand, Shul is a place that has to have very high halachic standards, especially Bizmanenu, that it's Paretz Merubah La'omed, and we have more people, unfortunately, I think it might be the first time in Jewish history that there are more non-frum people than there are frum people. So, how we deal with Shul is very complicated. On the one hand, Shul might be the only connection that people have to Yiddishkeit, and certainly Kiruv is a very important mitzvah. On the other hand, we have an obligation to maintain the standards of Shul, and not to water anything down. So that's really the question. And then there are many sigas in Shas, and in different areas of halacha, in terms of pinyon shavuyim, and in terms of stam, and in terms of duchening, and in terms of accepting karbonis, and many sigas about the role of a mummer. Maybe there's room to distinguish between each of these areas, maybe not. But the fact is, it's an important question. It's even more important than Yomim Noroyim. Right? Yomim Noroyim often is the time that the non-observant Jews come to Shul. And it's very funny, because on the one hand, we want to give them a positive experience. We want them to feel as connected to Yiddishkeit as possible. On the other hand, it's Yomim Noroyim. And we have higher standards on Yomim Noroyim. We don't eat pas palter, right? Even though we eat it all year. So because we have these higher standards, so one could say that maybe we should not relax things. The shaila could also be phrased the other way. And this is the way Moshe Sternbuch looks at it in one of his tshuvas. Right? From the perspective of my ability to influence others. Right? On the one hand, I maybe could be better off in my own frumkeit if I daven in the base medrash, in yeshiva. I start daven in the kollel. And I'll have a longer shmona esrei. On the other hand, I could influence people better if I daven with everyone. Right, the same type of question, just in the opposite direction, from my perspective. My gain versus their gain. Rabbi Rosenzweig, in his shiur, pointed out just various approaches of poskim. Some are more lenient, some are more machmir. Rav Moshe deals with the issue of Chanifa extensively. Right, the issue of Chanifa is, I don't know a more appropriate term, like kissing up, I guess. How do you say it? What? Flattery. Obsequiousness, right? No one knows what that word means, but it's a good word. So, that's the issue of Chanifa. So, on the other hand, to give an aliyah, or to give a kavod to somebody who isn't really part of the team, could be Chanifa. No, I'm only trying to get his money out of him. On the other hand, right, maybe it's okay. Right, maybe it's okay. Most poskim take the approach that they're very lenient on the non-observant Jews. Or Moshe Feinstein basically says that unless somebody is mamish, a non-believer, somebody who is a lahachisnik and his brachas aren't brachas at all, you can basically be mitzdarf them for a minyan and give them aliyahs technically. I could tell you that we do this all the time. Lameisa, yeah, we do this all the time. People show up in shul and you don't ask questions, you give them aliyahs. The basic cheshbin is, again, we assume that this is their one connection to Yiddishkeit and this is an opportunity for them to feel better and to connect to Yiddishkeit more and to perhaps become more religious. That's the goal. L'maisa, though, you have to be honest that there are certain poskim. The Prima Gadim has a famous shita that would be against giving aliyahs to these. The Prima Gadim writes that we know that there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that we don't give two brothers aliyahs, one after the other. So most assume that this din is because of Maris Ayin, whatever that means. But the Prima Gadim says famously that he thinks giving an aliyah is a din based on Eidos, no? And if two brothers get an aliyah, one after the other, so they're psulim the Eidos. So therefore, you can't get aliyahs, because aliyahs is a din in Eidos. That's what the Prima Gadim says. Now, the later Achreinim ask on the Prima Gadim, one second, Me'ikar Hadin, this is really contemporary halacha, right? Women are allowed to get aliyahs, Me'ikar Hadin, no? The Gemara says, Isha doesn't get an aliyah, Mishom Kvod Hatzibor, right? How could a woman get an aliyah? Technically, she's also possible Eidos. So Amaisa, the kasha is probably not so severe because we know already that Rav Salvechik used to always say, oh, from the Sivis, that the pshat in the Isha is not that she's psul the Eidos, but she doesn't have a Torah's aid whatsoever. That's probably the Yishuv, no? There's six people, Eved, Isha, Akum, Cher, Shaitan, and Katan, right? L'chora, it's not the pshat that they are psul in the Eidos, but they are not a shame aid whatsoever. So maybe the lomdus of the Prima Gadim is correct when it comes to two brothers who are psulim le'edus as a karov, or a gazwan couldn't get an aliyah. So if that's the case, so the Prima Gadim is right. The Prima Gadim is right. So then someone who's a baal aveira can't get an aliyah. Certainly an aveira that would make you psul le'edus. You violate lav sheyesh olav malchus. You psul le'edus, so you couldn't get an aliyah according to the Prima Gadim. This is that most Achronim disagree with the Prima Gadim. Based on this Vikasha, the Vilna Gaon, I'm just suggesting that the Kasha is not insurmountable. Okay, Rabbi Rosenzweig mentioned, or Rabbi Rosenzweig's father told a number of interesting stories about giving aliyahs to, or falsifying yard sites, right? That was a good one. And the fellow Percy, what was his name, who had this great taiva daven for the Amid, even in the conservative show, using a microphone in Yom Narayim. Interesting stories. L'maisa, the question is really difficult. Different areas of halacha, perhaps psulei kahuna are more chamor, that if someone is in violation, if you have a kohen who married Noshin Baveri, should be more machmir. The question is whether the chumra psulei kahuna extends to all, let's say someone is a kohen and he married a grusha. Is he not entitled to any aliyah? Does he only not get the aliyah of Kohen? So Rabbi Rosenzweig pointed out that that itself seems to be a machlokes in the Beis Yosef, the Maria Abuha, Vizmachmir, that he does not get any aliyah in this case. So the regular Averis, as a general rule, the Achronim, Bederach Klal, are Mekol on, with the exception of this Prima Gadim, and the exception of the Maria Abuha's Shita about regular Averis for Kahuna. Mumr lahachis is a more serious aveira. It could be that mumr lahachis is not mitzdar flaminyan, but lamaisa mumr lahachis is very rare. Rabbi Rosenzweig also pointed out that we have two almost opposite lumdish approaches. On the one hand, Rav Herzog said that if someone is a mumr lahachis, so he loses his own kedushas Yisrael, but he still is a Ben Yisrael, so he still is mitzdarf to Minyan, because the pasuk by Minyan says, "Benikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael." So I've heard such a machalik between being a Ben Yisrael and being kedushas Yisrael on your own. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Levracha, said almost the opposite distinction. He said that, you know what? You will never lose your own status as a Yisrael. Yisrael v'pishachot Yisrael, your kedushas Yisrael remains intact. It's like almost a Lubavitch of art. No, your pure neshama is going to remain holy and nothing can taint it. But in terms of your ma'amad, your status as being part of Klal Yisrael, that you lose. Right? It's almost the opposite approach that Rav Herzog take. L'maisa, today we also have the Tinuk Shenishba idea, which we use in this context as a kula. And therefore, I think the consensus of the postgame, Rabbi Rosenzweig said, the consensus of the postgame is that we're mekel on a mumar lahachis. Mechalos Shabbos, so the Achronim all say, based on Rashi being a chulin, the issue is that you're kofir mas aberacious. Therefore, the Binyan Siyon has a tshuva. Let's say someone is the old type of Mechal Shabbos, a Mechal Shabbos who would make Kiddush Shabbos morning and then go to work. No? Hashkama Minyanim used to not be for the frum people. The old Hashkama Minyan was for the Jew who wanted to go to work. Right? You daven Hashkama, you go to work after. So if someone is going to daven Hashkama and then make Kiddush and then go to work, he's not a Kaifer Maisa Bereshis. He recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Narvas, he can't handle it. Can't handle it. So again, part of the Tinuk Shanishba idea maybe could extend, even though Mumr L'Chal Shabbos technically should be like a Kofar B'chol HaTayva Kula. So, however, today there's room to be Mekel. We're Mekel on L'Chal Shabbos today, L'Maisa, in terms of burying them in the base Kvaris. Right? I think most Bati Almin bury people who are M'chal L'Shabbos. Technically, you're not allowed to, no? L'Chal Shabbos is Dino Ka'akom. Shouldn't be buried in Jewish cemetery. Today we assume that based on the Tinuk Shanishba idea, we're Mekel. Question is, maybe we could take the same idea of Bizmanenu further and say even intermarriage, which Rachmana Latzlan is, you know, intermarriage, it sounds like it's the last straw. Perhaps we could say that today there's room to assume that people who are intermarrying aren't doing it Bisha'at Nefesh. Also, maybe the Tinuk Shanishba idea really could come into play. Yesh Ladon, about these types of issues. And again, these are very serious questions that require Morei Hora'a. What are the types of Averis about which you say someone is not entitled to, someone is not entitled to get Aliyahs? Someone is, I remember last time, Rabbi Rosenthal gave the shiur. So one of the boys asked him, what about if someone is known to be a Mishkav Zacharnik? I think that's a big issue that you're going to probably have to deal with. I know I deal with in my shul. It's not a simple issue. Do you give aliyahs to these people or not? Is it kedai to say that maybe we should make communal sanctions and not give them aliyahs? Or do you say that Lamaisa, the person is a Baal Taiva, you give Aliyahs to other Ovri Avera? Right? It sounds like the reason not to give an Aliyah is more about communal standards than the Chomer HaAvera. The Chomer HaAvera of Chilul Shabbos is much worse than the Chomer HaAvera of intermarriage. Yet the Achronim are more makel on an Aliyah from a Chalal Shabbos than they are on an Aliyah for an intermarried person. Because the issue is, are you going against the communal standards? This is a serious question. When I spoke to Morei Hora for myself, so they told me that, first of all, if someone just announces his tendencies, again, this is contemporary halacha, if someone announces their tendencies, that doesn't mean that the person is doing any averis. I called up Reb David Cohen. I asked him the shayla. So Reb David Cohen said, did the person say he's doing averis? So I said, no. So he says, so what are you asking me for? Okay. Fine, that's the answer. But I think it is a shayla that, you know, the community, the rabbonim, are going to have to deal with in a serious way, because the shayla is going to become more and more prominent as time goes on. But any other questions about non-observant Jews in shul? Fine. Let's move on, I guess. My own shir and Hilchos Yichud, it's very hard for me to summarize my own stuff. But I think Yichud is Aser. Okay, that's the summary. There's Yichud Dereis and Yichud Derabanan. Maybe if we have time at the end, maybe I'll summarize my own shir, but I find it harder to summarize my own than to summarize others. So let's move on to to Rabbi Willig. So about Rabbi Willig and the Chiras Chometz. Okay? The Maisa, the Mechiras Chometz that we do, it says in Shulchanach that we do Mechiras Chometz in order to avoid the Isser of Chomish of our Lava Pesach. It's very funny that, right, I would have said that we do Mechiras Chometz to avoid Bayir Rabbi Yimotze, but apparently Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it like that. If you want to know a nice write-up on Mechiras Chometz, so Rav Zevin in his Sefer Moadim B'Halacha has really an excellent write-up about it. Mechiras Chometz is very old. The Mishnah already refers to it. The Tosefta certainly refers to it. But what's very recent is the fact that Mechiras Chametz is institutionalized. Is the fact that it's done on a regular basis and that it's done specifically in order to get it back. Right? We basically know that we are selling the chametz to the guy, John Brown in this case, and that we are going to get it back. So that is fairly recent. Rabbi Willig began, first of all, in terms of the time for Mechiras Chametz. Lamaisa, it's preferable to sell the chametz, right, to burn your own chametz after the chametz is sold. When the Rav sells the chametz, so the Rav basically stipulates with the guy that I'm selling all the chametz with the exception of this little bit of chametz I'm holding on to burn. Now, if you burn the chametz after the mechira, so then you really mekayim the mitzvah of burning chametz properly, which is to destroy the last kazayas of chametz that you have through fire. But if you burn the chametz earlier in the day, so then it could be you're not being mekayim the mitzvah tashbisu properly. There's a discussion in Achronim about how does Mechiras Chametz help. Isn't this a Ha'arama? No? Actually, if you want to see a very nice write-up about the whole Ha'arama issue in Rabbi Levine's packet about Ribbis, so at the end he quotes a very long article. He gives you a very long article from Rabbi Bleich about the Heter Iskan Ribbis, and the beginning of that article deals with the Ha'arama issue. No? It's the same question of Heter Iska and Mechiras Chametz, which is, how am I allowed to use these loopholes? Right? What type of idea is this heteriska thing? Right? That, oh, well, you know, it's not really a loan, it's kind of a business partnership that is mimicking a loan. Right? And Mechiras Chametz, well, I'm selling, but I'm not really selling it, and, you know, we're just avoiding the Isser. Are you allowed to do Ha'aramas? So, there is a famous comment of the Bechor Shor, that you do not do haramas. Haramas are forbidden on Dairaises, and they're only permitted for Dirabanans. This is why Rav Soloveitchik used to tell his students, don't sell chametz Dairaisa. And when they'd ask, what about whiskey? So he would say, Besser nicht zu fragen, right? Don't ask me about the whiskey, because apparently the whiskey is also chametz Dairaisa, and you shouldn't be selling it. Rav Schechter, in his Sefer, in the second Sefer, I think, in the Bikvei Hatzon, so Shechter points out that the Pashtus is not like the Bechor Shor. The Bechor Shor is quoting a Gemara in Shabbos, but the Gemara in Shabbos means something different. The type of Harama that we're doing over here is Harama before the Isser sets in. Harama before the Isser sets in, L'chora, is going to be permitted whether it's a Dairaiso or it's a Drabbonon. L'chora, that's what's going on. So therefore, you should even be allowed to sell real Chametz. Bitul chametz doesn't help for chametz shavuot over Pesach. It's beferish in Shulchan Aruch. Even though min ha-Torah you don't violate the Isser, but still the knas of chametz shavuot over Pesach sets in. So that's why we have to sell the chametz. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you have to sell the chametz to a guy, and the guy should be motzi it from his rishos. He should take it out of the rishos. Why this is done, there are two reasons given. One reason that it's given is, practically speaking, if the chametz is going to remain in my rishos, I might come to eat it. The other reason is, halachically speaking, that you have to make a mashicha on the chametz, and mashicha only works if I take it from your rishos into my rishos. Short of that, it's not a mashicha. Today, we don't do mashicha. You see, if we would do mashicha, mechiras chametz would be very easy. The Gemara in Bechoras is a machlokis, Gemara in Baltimatsiya, Bechoras is a machlokis, a biyukhna veshlokish, whether Moses konus dvar Torah, whether mashicha mefereshes min haTorah, or whatever is true by a Jew, the opposite is true by a Goy, and there's machlokis Rashi in Tosfos how we paskin. So if I would do mashicha and kesef, I'd be yotze for sure, and the Goy would be kone. But the problem is, if I'm selling chametz in an entire town, and I have 9 million pounds of noodles to sell, it's very hard to do mashicha on 9 million pounds of noodles, and it's very hard to hagbah 9 million pounds of noodles, so therefore we have to do other kinyanim. Right? So if I would do Mashicha and Kesef, everything would be good. But Lamaisa, what we do is we do many other Kinyanim. We do a Kinyan Chater, we do a Kinyan Agav, and we do a Kinyan Situmta, which is basically saying that through Dina de Malchusa it works. And we do Kinyan Chater, right? Kesef, Agav, Chater, Chalipin, and Situmta. Those are the five Kinyanim that we do. Why do we do so many kinyan? We do so many kinyan because Lamais, if you look in the Ktsos, where is it? Kuf Tzadi Vav, I think. The Ktsos tells you that each kinyan itself might not work by Goyim. Kinyan of Derabbanan, Lechora, it's a problem whether they work by Goyim at all, because it could be that Chazal only instituted Kinyan of Derabbanan for Jews. Chazal didn't go out of the way to institute Kinyan of Derabbanan for Goyim. When we do the king in Kesef, so we don't give the full value. We give a down payment of the king in Kesef. It's called the Eif Geben or something. It's a down payment. You have to give a pruta for that. Rabbi Willing made a cheshbon this year that a pruta ends up being, the pruta ends up being 2 cents rather than 1 cent. We sublet the apartment, so we're renting the area where the chometz is to the guy. And that, by renting the area to the guy, we are accomplishing being mutzi the chometz from our rishos. Right? Because it says in Shulchan Aruch, I sell the chometz to the guy, so it's mutzi from the rishos. The Bach asks, how do you do that when you're selling it on the mass scale? So the answer is, I'm mutzi from rishos in the sense it's not in my rishos. I sold the area also, so it's out of my rishos. The Maisa, when you appoint the rabbi as a shaliach, you're not selling chametz to the rabbi. You appoint the rabbi as a shaliach to sell chametz for you. So the Rambam writes that there's no need whatsoever to make a kinyan with the rabbi. Minhag shlichus doesn't require a kinyan. Nevertheless, the minhag is that we make a kinyan. It makes it more serious. Rav Henkin had a chumrah that the shtar of mechiras chametz that we do. Did we mention shtar is one of the kinyanim? Shtar is also a kinyan. We should do, okay? Again, kesef agav chotzer chalipin, right? Situmta shtar. When we do the kinyan shtar, which is a kinyan, shtar is not going to be called in the metaltim, but it's a kinyan on the real estate that comes with it. So the chumrah of Rav Henkin is that on the shtar itself, each balabos, the shtar mechira and the shtar harsho should be the same thing. So when the Baal HaBos appoints the rabbi as a shaliach to sell the chometz for him, on that same document there should be a shtar mechira to the goy. L'maisa, Rabbi Willig incorporates this on his shtar. There's like a very short two-line nusach shtar mechira at the bottom. Others don't do this. Others just staple it all together. It's very important to know the zmanim for the Mechiras Chometz, because if someone travels east, so it becomes Pesach earlier and you can't own Chometz. And so that's why we do an earlier Mechira for those people. If someone travels west, you have to be careful to buy the Chometz back later, because if you buy the Chometz back at the regular time, he's in Los Angeles, it's still Pesach for him, he just violated an Isser of Chometz. The notion of severability is very important. That is that inside the shtar, we write that since we're doing so many kinyonim, let's say, right, this is like almost a sugya in Bava Basra and Kedusha, but at v'chamor, if one of the kinyonim doesn't work, does that invalidate all the other kinyonim? So l'maisa, the notion of severability is that we make it that doesn't violate all the other kinyonim. If one kinyon doesn't work, so then that's okay. And basically, Rabbi Willig had a lot of very practical advice and many stories about this John Brown, and that was the shir about Mechiras Chometz. Did I miss anything in that shir? Fine. Let's talk very quickly about Shchita and Shreifis. Both Rabbi Genek and Rabbi Ben Chaim spoke about this. Rabbi Genek had a few vertloch. He always likes to speak about like Torah from the Rav. That's sort of the way Rabbi Genek is. So this year he began with a few shtickles from the Rav. I think we spoke a little about the women's issue in passing, about giving aliyahs to women. I forgot to mention the fact that it could be that there's no such thing as machil on Kabbalat Sibor. And that's an important issue. Fine. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that Hakol Shochet Afilu Noshim. The Rama says that the minig is Ein HaNoshim Shochet. Tosef of Salavashik explained that the reason why women don't shecht is because the Shochet used to occupy a position like an assistant rabbi. And since the Rambam says there's an Isser of Sarara, that Melech Flo Malka, so a woman can't be a Rabbi, so Mamela, a woman also shouldn't be a Shochet because the Shochet was an assistant rabbi. This is really a very big question today, Kayadua. We don't speak about this in contemporary halacha. We probably should. The question of what exactly are the parameters? Is the Rambam, is the Rambam fully accepted by halacha? Or Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva writes that there are many Rishonim, Rashba, and Aran who seem to disagree with the Rambam. I'm assuming there's no Isser Sarara for Noshim. But the Moshe himself writes that even Rav Moshe is the Mako himself. He writes that any Rav who's a Yarei Shamayim, any Rav who's a Yarei Shamayim, won't have a woman, I guess, the president of a shul, because you're scared of the Shita of the Rambam. That's what Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva. Yeah. Okay, so the issue of what is considered Sarara, and if we accept the Rambam at all, is the big issue. RCA, fine, Adkan. Mamaisa, because we assume that a position of a shochet is like a communal authority position, that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that the kohol can make a cherem that only appointed people are allowed to shecht. And if you shecht without the position of the kohol, the shechit is not going to be good. Fine. There are five halachos of shechita. Shehiya, drasa, grama, chaloda, and ikor. You have to know what they are. Shehiya is that you can't delay at all in the shechita, right? If you stop at any point, it's going to be a problem. We paskin even shehiya b'miyat basra is going to be a problem. Hagrama is if I shecht in the wrong place. Drasa is instead of cutting, I apply pressure. Ikor, according to some, means that the knife is pogum, or others assume it's also a shechita shel avam komum. Chalod is that the knife is covered. The din in Shulchan Aruch is that the shechita should technically be a shechita revutza, the animal is lying down. However, the Rabbi Ganek spent time in the shir to point out that if you can ensure that the animal's head is going to be held up, and I'm shechting in an upwards motion, so the animal is not going to be falling down on the knife, so it won't be drusa, it won't be pressure, it'll be my cutting, so that shechita would be fine. And this is the big issue that got Rabashkin into trouble, because when you try to do a rotary pen, you try to have the type of pen that turns the animal over, so lemaisa, you're going to end up in situations that the animals don't bleed out as well, and then you can have these ugly pictures of animals walking around after their head is cut off, and then Peter's going to try to close you down. Rav Soloveitchik was almost a Navi, and Rav Soloveitchik basically said that you should have a pen where the animal is standing up, and if you have a pen, and Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in the Igros Moshe written to Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung about the Shechita issue in Canada at that time, same issue, where they said, listen, if the animal is standing up and the head can't move, so it's going to be kosher. That's the basic issue that Rabbi Ganek mentioned. And again, lots of interesting stories along these lines. It's a Beferish Rambam in Perek Beis Hilchos Hashchita Halacha Zayin, Bein Shehoseh Revutza Omedes, the Shechita is good. And Rabbi Ganek showed this Rambam to Reb Aaron Teitelbaum, to... That's, I think, Reb Arela of the Teitelbaum, Satmers, and whatever it is, you have to, he got out of it somehow, or he didn't, but Lamaisa, they're still trying to use the rotary pen. The word glat kosher, Rabbi Mandel then spoke, glat kosher does not mean that there are no siriches. Glat kosher, the way it is applied today in the shechita industry, means that there are very few sirches and they come off through peeling them off. The Ramah's definition of plain kosher was not peeling them off. It was miyuch and mishmush, which basically is rubbing them and manipulating them to get them to come off. This is not done. Today they peel them off. The Sfardim, Rav Ben Chaim mentioned in his shir, some Sfardi, some Temanim, some Tema, I shouldn't say Sfarim, some Temani Shochtim actually take knives and they chop them off, because the Rambam says you could do that. You could even take a knife and chop off the sirchas. We know what sirchas are. Those are those adhesions to the lung. So it's important to note, there's Machlekes Rashi and Taisus. Why is it that a sircha is a problem? Is a sircha a problem because Rashi assumes that maybe there was a nekev there beforehand and the sircha came and closed up that nekev, right? So the animals are ready. Treif Taisus says a sircha is a problem because it's sofali nakev, and just like in many places we have shas, we have kol ha'omed, whatever is as if it is now, so also here kol ha'omed li nakev is kenakov dummy. Shchita yus, yeah. Rabbi Mandel said.
That Rabbi Mandel was saying Beit Yosef held. Basically, what it sounds like, he said it made it sound like there's no difference between that and the other lot. And Rabbi Ben Chaim said, it means that there were no sirchas whatsoever.
Right, yeah. Rabbi Ben Chaim said that means that there's no sirchas whatsoever. I think that's the conventional understanding. Rabbi Mandel was saying, based on his knowledge of what it means, that it doesn't mean that there are no sirchas whatsoever. Lamaisa, the Beis Yosef himself is make on certain types of sirchas. If they are kasidron, which we know what that means, it's like on the umos, right? One lobe of the lung to the next lobe of the lung, so that's going to be okay, even according to the mechaber. There are types of sirchas that are kosher, yeah. When Rav Soloveitchik said that the highest he could ever get kosher was like kosher glat, like was 12%, he was only talking about glat based on the way he understood the word glat, which is no sirchas whatsoever. But the other definition of glat, the definition of glat that's currently employed, that glat just means that there are very few sirchas and they come off very easily, and you only know this apparently if you try. I wish there would have been a sircha in those lungs that we touched by Rav Ben Chaim Shchita, because it would have been much, right? Unfortunately, that animal, that was a calf, by the way. No? When they shechted, it was not a full cow, that was a calf. And the calf, with kuli alma, has to have no sirchas, no? Even the Ramah writes that by Behemoth Daka, we don't accept any sirchas. Yeah, okay. Then there are plain kosher, lamais would require much more work than regular kosher. Shchita used to be that there's a local shchita. Used to be what we saw with Rav Ben Chaim, that the Rav is there, local shchita. You could show him if there's any shayla, and you'll know what's going on. Today, all the shchita is done in Iowa. That's why no one knows what's going on with shchita in America. It's mamish, a big issue. Rav Ben Chaim mentioned a few issues very quickly. He mentioned about maror. For some reason, he's talking about maror. Right? That maror is not horseradish. Okay, fine. And then Rav Ben Chaim also mentioned about viola. I wrote an article about viola, if any of you are interested in it. What?
Water.
He mentioned about water. He mentioned about the bugs and the fish. And Rav Ben Chaim, I spoke about lots of issues in kashrus, kind of. We moved away from shchita. Okay, so I think this is most of what we wanted to do tonight. If people are available tomorrow around 3 o'clock, I can try to finish up the other shiurim. If not, the test is Tuesday. At 3 o'clock? We can try any room. I think they should all be available, right? What? Yeah, I think everything should be available. There's my shiur, which I don't know if I'd be able to summarize it, and then Rabbi Feldman and Rabbi Levine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, could we have a Meyer here? Yeah, I apologize for going a little bit over time. Huh?